From the Sri Sakti Sai Media Center in Prashanthi Nilayam, you are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Padma Shri Dr. V. Mohan. Dr. Mohan is a world-renowned diabetologist. He is the chairman and chief of diabetology at Dr. Mohan's Diabetes Specialty Center, which is a WHO collaborating center for non-communicable diseases prevention and control. He is also the president and director of the Madras Diabetes Research Foundation in Chennai. Dr. Mohan, who is an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, is currently also a trustee of the Sri Sakti Sai Central Trust. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed after the talk, we have some melodious songs composed and sung by Swami students. With that, over to Dr. Mohan.
Om Sai Ram. I offer my most loving, humble and reverential pranams at the divine lotus feet of our Lord and Master, Bhagavan Sri Sakti Sai Baba. And let us all pray to him to bless today's proceedings. We know that he is omnipresent, omniscient and omnipotent, but every time we have to invoke his blessings before we start any such program. Respected elders, Dr. Sundareshan, Sri Rangarajan, Sri Ravi, Sri Murthy, respected faculty and teachers, students, elders, and my beloved Sai brothers and sisters, alumni of this hallowed and, if I may say, holy institution. First of all, my loving Sai Ram to all of you. At the outset, I would like to thank our beloved Bhagwan for permitting such a satsang called Samarpan, which has now been going on for 59th occasion, as we were just told. And every time we get together, Swami says, whenever you speak about me, whenever my glory is sung, I will be present. So I think the best way to bring Swami into our midst is when we get together and talk about him and his glory. And that is what I think Samarpan is all about. I'm also aware that there are many students in the audience. And to the students who have been there many, many years ago, they've had the unique and distinct privilege of being at Swami's lotus feet even when they were students. Unfortunately, the physical presence is not there now, so the present day students, those who have joined more recently, may not be able to enjoy that bliss. However, Swami's physical presence is only one form, one manifestation of Swami. So Swami is always there with all of you. But I think it's very important for students who have joined more recently to continuously at least hear of the glory, hear of the experiences, because many of you come from different parts of the country, maybe different parts of the world, and you may not have had direct contact with Swami, and therefore I congratulate the alumni, first of all, for arranging the Samarpan events, because I think this is one place where people can come and share their experiences. I was particularly told to talk about my personal experiences. In fact, the note mentioned that it should be a kind of an autobiographical experiences. Normally, I don't like to do that because I think it's more important to just talk in general. But I specifically asked to talk about my own experience, which is what I will try to do. But before doing that, I would also like to thank Sai Brother Prashant for continuously being after me. I know you had a couple of false starts, and I'll explain to you why those false starts occurred. It occurred to me only today when I was driving to the Whitefield campus. It struck me why those couple of times it did not take place and why it had to be today, and I'll return back to that a little later. But I'd also like to thank Brother Murli and Sai Kumar and Subhash and all the others who have looked after me so well, and for all the hospitality that they have showered on me. Frankly speaking, I'm a relatively new devotee in Swami's fold. I've been here only for 24 years. Many of you are much, much senior devotees than I am. And your proximity to Swami has been much more than I can ever claim. And therefore, I feel a little out of place here trying to talk to you about my experience with Swami. It's actually like carrying coal to Newcastle, because I think you all have much more experiences to learn, and I wish I was just sitting there and one of you stood here, and I'm still happy to do that, to just take my seat there and listen to one of you, because it's nothing like hearing about Swami's glory, because every single person who has come into contact with Swami has hundreds and hundreds of miracle stories, and the proximity that they've had with Swami and the experiences, only when you talk about it, you continue to be amazed by it. Even as a devotee, knowing that all these things can happen, every time you hear, even then you continue to be amazed. That is Swami. Because He is limitless, we cannot understand Him. Swami has said several times that with your small human brain, you cannot understand Me, and I think that's completely true. And therefore, it's with that sense of humility that I would like to talk to you today. Our beloved Bhagavan has planned everything for us. And I would like to first of all tell you that there are 7 billion people in the world today. Okay? And out of these 7 billion people, even given that there are a few million devotees of Swami, that is still a very small proportion of the whole world. And therefore, what does that mean? It means that each and every one of us who has had the good fortune to become Swami's devotee is actually a chosen instrument, chosen by Bhagavan Himself. And therefore, I'd like to consider yourselves and myself to be blessed that we have been personally handpicked by Swami to come here. And as far as you students are concerned, the same thing goes for you. There are hundreds of institutions to which you could have gone, and yet you came here. Okay? There are hundreds of other students who could have come here, and yet you were chosen to come here. I strongly believe that nothing in this world is an accident. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is planned. In fact, the Lord and the Master has planned everything for eons to come, for generations to come. It is all already finished. In His book, it is all finished. His chapters are already written. We are reading that book only now, chapter by chapter. How do you say that? Didn't it happen in the Mahabharata? When Arjuna said, "How can I fight? How can I kill my brethren? They are standing in front of me. They are all my brethren. They are my kith and kin. How can I kill them?" And then when Sri Krishna shows him, it's all over. You don't have to kill. You don't have to do it. It's all my doing. You think it's your doing. It's my doing. I've already done it. And he shows a fast forward of what is to come. And he says, "Everything is over, my dear. What you are doing now is only slowly enacting a drama which I am doing. It is not you at all. So please go ahead and fight." So similarly, the same thing exists now as it existed thousands of years ago at the time of the Mahabharata. So our Lord Krishna has also planned each one of our lives. But still, we have to play our little part in the drama in His Leela as He has planned it. Therefore, the first thing that we have to do every single day, and I'll come back to that at the end of my speech, is that we have to thank our beloved Bhagavan for bringing us to His fold, and we should pray to Him to continue to keep us in His fold. That for till the end, we have to be with Him. Now, coming to my personal experiences, and I mentioned that today is probably a very significant day for me as well. Let me trace back a little bit. Even during my childhood, I was blessed to have a little scientific approach. So I tried to apply science and even little things that I did in my life. And so little first test that I started doing when I was much younger than all of you sitting here is that to answer the question, is there a God? To start with, let's start with the fundamentals. Is there a God? Then only who that God is. Okay? So then I started doing little experiments to see whether there is something called God. And every single time, believe me, brothers and sisters, every single time I tried those experiments, it came positive that there is a God. So I got convinced. Having been convinced of that, a kind of a yearning came within me that I should try to go to some ashram, somewhere to see the holy people. So I started a little quest, even when I was 14, 15, 16, I started this little quest of going. I went to Ramanashram, spent some time there. I went to the Aurobindo ashram, spent almost a week there. I used to go to different ashrams and just stay there and to feel the divinity there. Every place I went, I was impressed. Okay, I did feel, yes, this is great. But something in my heart kept telling me, this is not it. It came to me again and again and again, saying, this is not it. And when I say it, it's for me. I'm not saying that none of those are good or none of those are bad or anything. They're all fantastic. But within me, an inner voice kept telling me, this is not what you're looking for. It was very clear. So I would go there with due respect, stay there for a week, completely happy with what happened, but then come back and saying, this is not it. There is something else that my heart is looking for. Something else that I'm not able to explain what it is. This went on, and then, now comes the day. On 20th of March, 1992, exactly 24 years ago to this date. And I know this date because there was a conference on the 19th and 20th of March 1992, and I had come for the conference. I had not come to see Swami. I had not come to Whitefield. I had not come planned anything. I had just come for a diabetes conference. The conference was over. My talk was over. And we were partying in the night after the conference was over. It was relaxing. I had a Sai devotee who was my college mate with me, and he was there, and his name was Dr. Shyam. So I asked him, Shyam, is Swami here in Whitefield or is he in Puttaparthi? And he said, no, I believe he's here. I heard he's here. Are you interested? Do you want to go? I said, why not? Can we go tomorrow? He said, it's a 45-minute, one-hour drive. I said, doesn't matter. Let's go. So he checked. And I had also checked earlier in Chennai, and they had said that Swami is here. In Whitefield, he's there. He was due to go the next day to Kodaikanal, I think. So they said, Swami is definitely in Whitefield. So I said, okay, something tells me that, you know, I must just go and see Swami. So can you go? I'll take you. I'm a devotee. I'll take you. I said, come along. We'll go. So we started early morning. And by the time we were coming near Whitefield, it was around 6:30 or so in the morning, people are all leaving. Everybody is going. So Shyam said, you know, Dr. Mohan, I don't think Swami is here. Everybody is going. This is darshan time. And everybody won't be going if Swami is there. I said, no, but you said he is here. And no, I don't think he is here. Let's see. It so happened that Swami had changed his plan and had left that morning. Just before that, he had left. So I was not destined to see him. So we were coming, the railway gate is there those days. And so we used to cross the railway. It's almost crossing the railway gate. So Shyam said, do you still want to go? I said, having come, you know, all this while, let's just enter the ashram and see what is there. I've not come all this way. We've driven 1 hour and come. So anyway, let's just enter and see what is happening. You won't believe it. I just entered the gate. I don't know that same. There used to be a big tree here, isn't it? There used to be a big tree here, I remember. And I just entered the gate, and I don't know what happened to me. Something took over. It's a dramatic transformation. My heart told me, this is it, this is it, this is it, this is it. All the while, God was telling me, this is not it, this is not it. Something kept telling me, this is it, this is it. So I told my wife was with me, and Dr. Shyam was with me, and I said, this is it, Shyam. He said, what is it? I said, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. And he said, but you haven't even seen Swami. I said, doesn't matter. I've got it. This is it. This is what I'm waiting for. I just entered the gate. I've not even come inside Whitefield Ashram. So, and that was exactly 20 years ago to this date. It was 20th of March in 1992. So now I realize, coming this morning, I realize, oh, that's why it got postponed. Probably, as I enter my silver jubilee. So with today, tomorrow I enter my silver jubilee with Swami. Okay? And it had to start where I started my journey with Swami. And therefore, I cannot tell you, with tears in my eyes, I can only tell you that this is one of the most glorious moments in my life. Believe it or not. So that was the start, and therefore Whitefield is very, very, very special to me, because that's where my whole journey with Swami started. How did the story go on after that? Before that, I had read a lot about Swami. Swami was not new to my life at that stage. I had seen Swami as a child. In Roypuram, where my father's hospital is, next door to that is Shanti Kutir. One of the first places established by Swami as a Bhajan Mandir. So there, bhajans used to happen. Swami used to come there. I used to stand on the wall of my father's nursing home. 30 feet away, Swami used to be somewhere there, just across the next building. I could see Swami. And I used to see people coming to see Swami. But it didn't make an impact on me. Every single day when I went to school, I went in the car of a Sai devotee. Okay, evening I used to drop his son back, and morning he used to take me. And every single day I went to school, and Swami's picture was there in the car. Okay, I used to see Swami's picture, and I used to wonder, why are they keeping the picture of a human being in a car? You know, that is the only thought every single day I had. It never made an impact on me. So it is only when Swami calls, it is only when we are ready, and when Swami calls, that he can come into our life. We cannot come to Swami in any other way. And that's why I say we are all blessed. Without his blessings, we will not be here today. You will not be sitting listening to me today without Swami's blessings. Okay? So this went on and on. And after, before I had come to Whitefield, I had read Man of Miracles by Howard Moffat. I had read the book fully. And I said, interesting. Lots of interesting things are written. But it's only interesting. It is not divine. It didn't make an impact on me. From here, I went straight to the bookshop there on that day after I entered with tears in my eyes and said, I want to buy some books. I want to buy some bhajans. So I bought the book, read the same Man of Miracles, and this time my hair stood on end when I read Man of Miracles. And I said, this is not something human. This is divine. This is God himself. You know, the same book I had read 2-3 years earlier, it made no impact on me at all. Just see, it's like when Krishna is with Arjuna, what is his power? And Arjuna without Krishna, in the end when he goes, is a powerless man. All his power came from Krishna. So everything that we have comes from our beloved Bhagavan. We are all big, 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 big zeros until the one comes in front. And Swami gives us the power. Otherwise we remain as the zeros always. So you may have a million zeros in front of you, but without that one, it makes no meaning at all. And I think it's that Swami who gives that one, and he gives it to us at the right time. From then on, of course, the rest was history. I started attending bhajans in Sundaram, soon trips to Puttaparthi, and so on and so forth. Okay? Another major event in our family and in my life was my daughter's wedding. Now, my daughter, I have an only daughter. She's a doctor. My son-in-law also is a doctor. They're both diabetologists working with me. So we went through the usual horoscopes and so on and so forth and so on. And my son-in-law's horoscope matched. Then they met. Very nice family. Everything was done. And then we said, what next? And then my daughter throws a bombshell at me. She says, you know what, Papa? Now, Swami has to say yes. Okay? Imagine, I'm an ordinary devotee, okay? I was not in the trust, I was not the convener of the trust, I was nothing. I was just an ordinary devotee coming like everyone else, sitting somewhere at the back and going. And she tells me, this is in 2004, I think. So she was telling me that, Papa, I don't know all this. Swami has to personally bless, personally, okay? Don't tell me he came in your dream and then he said, okay, no, not accepted. You must meet Swami, you must tell him about this, and he must say yes, then only I'll get married. Every week phone calls from the groom's side. So what have you decided? No, we haven't decided. Give us a little bit more time, you know. A week later again call will come. Now what have you decided? No, we haven't decided. Please give us a little bit more time. May we know why? No, there is, we need a little bit more time, okay? So this went on. It so happened that I had come to Bangalore for a Department of Science and Technology meeting, DST meeting. So then I told my daughter, look, there's a DST meeting. I have one darshan possible because I'll be there. morning 10 o'clock the meeting starts, so maybe I can take a chance and go to Whitefield and see whether Swami is there. So again Whitefield, okay? So I come to Whitefield. I didn't know anyone. Like an ordinary devotee, I came. Everybody is already seated. Okay? So by 6:30 I came, the hall is full. Everybody is waiting for Swami. We are not even sure whether Swami will come. Okay? So, we're sitting there and I was about to enter, somebody stopped me and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "No, I'm just going for darshan." "No, you wait." Sevadal said, "You wait." I waited, nothing's happening. And time is running out for me. 10 o'clock I had to be there and the DST meeting also. Now time is running out, they're not even allowing me inside. Then I saw one Tamil Nadu group going. Okay? So Tamil Nadu group was going. So I said, "Oh, you're all in Tamil Nadu. I'll join you," I said. I said, "This fellow won't find out, you know." So I joined that queue and with all the Tamil Nadu group, we are coming there. He let everyone pass. Then he came to me, he said, "You are not part of this group," he said. I said, "What does it matter to you whether I am part of this group or not part of this group? I've just come to see Swami. Can you just allow me inside?" "No, you're not part of this group. You wait here," he said. I said, "Okay, I'll wait, you know, but just allow me in sometime. Let's go in." And I'm so desperate because if that doesn't happen, the marriage is gone. You know, because the whole thing depends on whether Swami will come and bless. If Swami doesn't come and bless, gone. Marriage is gone. So for me, it's so much of pent up emotion. Because what I didn't tell you was the previous day, for the entire waking day, I had been just praying to Swami. Swami, 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 Swami. Every second, every minute, I was praying to Swami for something to happen. Then this man tells me, the Sevadal who doesn't know me at all, he tells me, "You may have come for something else. Those people may have come for something else. That's why I'm telling you, you wait." I said, "Okay, I'll wait." I was getting very angry, but I said, "Okay, no problem, I'll wait." Then after some time, he came and he said, "Come here." Then he made me sit somewhere there. Okay, and the third somewhere there I was sitting. The Tamil Nadu group was further away, that side. So I said, "Got in. First thing is to get into the hall. Now got in. Now whether Swami will come or not is the next question. And even if he comes, sometimes he used to drive past and go. Because that was the time actually he had the shoulder problem or something. So they're not sure they'll come. And waited. Suddenly Swami came. He walked across like that. Talk to one person there in the first thing. And so what I've got is I've got my letter with me. In case he doesn't talk to me, at least letter I can give. You know, so I've got my letter with me and I'm ready to talk and I'm somewhere there I'm sitting. So Swami comes, he meets just one person there. Then he comes straight across and to the person sitting next to me, he obviously knew him very well. He's asking him, "How's your father? When did you come? This, that and all that." Then I'm sitting next to that. You know, I'm wondering whether Swami will talk to me or not. Waiting. He came next to me. Then he said, "You wanted to ask me something?" He asked me. "You wanted to ask me something?" "Ah, yes, Swami. Yes, Swami, Swami." I gave the letter to him first, you know. "Letter la venda. Something you wanted to ask me, you asked me. What you wanted?" He said. I said, "Swami, my daughter's wedding, Swami, if you approve," I didn't say who it was, I didn't say who the boy was, I didn't say anything. I just, "Swami approves, we'll proceed. If Swami doesn't approve, we'll immediately cancel the wedding." He closed his eyes for some time, thought for almost a minute, it took for a long time. Then he materialized Vibhuti and gave me, "Go ahead, good boy," he said, and he went out. From there, he crossed to the other side. Talked to one or two ladies there, signaled for the car, got in. Totally spoke to four people that day. One here, two of us, and one more there. Four people he spoke to, and then he got into the car and he went off. Had I sat with the Tamil Nadu group, I would not have got his darshan at all. I would not have been able to talk to him at all. How did that Sevadal know? The Sevadal tells me, the word still rings in my ears. "You may have come for a different purpose. They may have come for a different purpose. That is why I am asking you to sit here." He knows nothing why I have come. Okay? Who made him say that? Who made me sit there? It was only Swami. Okay? Why did it happen? Intense prayer and Swami's grace. Swami's love. Okay? So Swami wanted this to happen. I can say with all humility and with love to Swami that the couple is still very happy. I've got the best son-in-law I can ever think of naturally. With Swami's blessing, I can't think of a better son-in-law. But this was the second incident. Again it happened in Whitefield. Okay? So Whitefield is again very, very, very special to me. In my whole life, believe it or not, I've got only one interview with Swami and that was in Whitefield. Again. Okay, so the first time I came to Whitefield, to Swami's Whitefield, my daughter's wedding was decided in Whitefield. The only interview I got was in Whitefield. Now tell me, is Whitefield important to me or not? I think Whitefield is the most important thing which ever happened in my life. And that is why I never imagined, either when I came as a first time there, or the second time when I came for my daughter and stood there like an ordinary devotee, I never thought that I will have the privilege of talking to all of you in Whitefield itself. I think that is a blessing which comes from our beloved Bhagavan, and we can never, never thank him enough. Now about the interview. Something was told about diabetes and so on, and I was specifically asked about that, and it's mentioned in the thing. So Swami, in the interview room, he asked me, yes doctor, tell me, what is the cause, why is diabetes increasing in India? He asked me. So that time we had just discovered a new gene. So I thought, oh, my ego immediately, my gene, Swami is talking about my gene. So I said, the new gene. So, what gene? 30 years ago, genes were different? No. Same genes only you had, no? Then why you had 2% diabetes then and now you have got 15% diabetes now and all that, why? Same genes only, no? I said, cannot be genes. Oh, correct, sorry, can't be genes. Then I said, some physical activity, some people are walking less. Yes, that is all okay. But why I am telling you, an important part of your research you are not looking into at all. You have got the data with you, but you are not looking at it, he said. I said, Swami, you tell me, Swami, I don't know. Frankly, I don't know. Swami said, it's white rice. Okay? It's the rice consumption which has increased. Parallel to that, exercise has gone down, stress levels have gone up. So the polished rice, earlier days people used to eat unpolished rice, now they're eating polished rice. That polished rice increases the sugar level. Then he's explaining to the others, you know what happens, when you take this white rice, you know, the sugar will go up. When the sugar goes up, you know what will happen, from the beta cells insulin will come. So when that insulin comes, you know what happens, the insulin keeps on coming out, then after some time what will happen, no? Insulin will go down, then once insulin goes down, you become diabetic. Correct, no doctor? Yes. Swami, you're always correct, you know. You are the scientist of scientists. And you are asking me whether it is correct. You created science. You are science. You are the world. You created everything. And you are asking me whether it is correct. Swami, I bow down to you. I'll definitely look at it. The rice story, I said. Then he said, do you know what are the 5 white poisons? I was foxed again. I said, I thought better keep quiet now because everything, I'm going to become a fool every time. So I said, Swami, you tell me that also. Listen, he said, 5 white things, anything in excess is bad. White rice is bad. Sugar is bad. Salt is bad. Okay. Maida, flour is bad. That's also white. And milk is also bad. Isn't milk also, Swami? Too much of milk is bad. Where does milk come from? From an animal? No. So you can take a little bit of milk. Too much of milk, there is evidence that if you drink too much of milk, prostate cancer and 1 or 2 cancers are increased. So Swami talked about the 5 white poisons. Swami talked about so many things in that interview. I was so amazed. I just said, okay, we'll just listen to Swami. But let me finish that white rice story. So I went back and then I told my team, you know what? Swami said, white rice is very important. We have looked at all our data we have on diet, so much epidemiological studies, we have collected everything, we are not even analyzed. So we went back to the white rice story. Sudha Vasudevan, who works with me, in fact one of my colleagues is here, Dr. Pungodesh, she's here in the audience. But this is Sudha, the head of nutrition. So I went back to her and said, better look at this data. Looked at the data, and as the white rice increased, we divided Chennai into 4 quartiles. The lowest intake of white rice, the next, highest. Okay. By the time the white rice consumption went up from 200 grams to 400 grams, the lowest to the highest consumers in Chennai, the diabetes prevalence went up 4 times. Not once or twice, 4 times higher. Okay. Swami is absolutely right. That is a British Journal of Nutrition paper. So I used to joke that Swami should be the first author of that paper, because but for him, no, nothing, we would never even have thought about this. I continue to thank Swami. Like this, he's given so many clues to us that I think if anything in research we have done a little bit, I think the entire, credit and everything is due to Swami's benevolence and love. I started off, as I said, as a devotee. Then one fine day, suddenly I got a letter from Puttaparthi saying that Swami is under Swami's instructions, we would like to like you to become a trustee of the Tamil Nadu Trust. And I was highly thrilled when I heard that, because it's the first opportunity to serve in the organization. Because I'd really not been formally part of the organization. So that was my first entry. And then, a few years later, 2007 was Swami's last visit to Chennai. In the year 2007, around September, my convener of the trust, G.K. Raman, who was also the chairman of Sundaram Finance, he died at Puttaparthi. He died while waiting for Swami's darshan, and then, that's another story, I won't go into that. Swami brought him back to life, gave him water, some of you would have seen that, and then after that there was a vacancy. And the trust convener's job is quite a big job, actually, because you have to sign checks, you have to try and receipts, you have to, on a day-to-day basis, there is work to be done. So after G.K. Raman died, All India President and others went to Swami and said, Swami, whom shall we make the convener of the Tamil Nadu Trust? I know, he said. Then they waited. By the time so many things had piled up, then after about 3-4 weeks, they went back to Swami and said, Swami, Tamil Nadu Trust convener, I told you I know, don't remind me about it, I'll tell you when the time comes. Swami, lot of work, no, don't talk about it, I'll tell you when to. And they kept quiet. Another month passed. By that time what had happened was, due to a series of other things which I won't go into, I used to be a non-vegetarian, and somewhere in, so G.K. Raman died in September 2007. In October, due to a series of other things which happened in the family, I became a vegetarian. Okay? And how I became vegetarian was, I had come to Puttaparthi and I picked up a small book which Swami had, a small book saying Food and Swami. So I said, oh, Food and Swami, this is very interesting. Let's see what Swami has written. So I opened the page on my way back from Puttaparthi to Bangalore Airport. I just randomly opened one page. And what I used to tell everyone was, okay, vegetarianism and all that is good, but where will you get your protein intake from? As a scientist, I felt that the vegetarians don't get enough protein. That is my theory at that time, okay? So I used to tell people, but where will you get protein from? No chicken, no egg, no this, no that. Where are you going to get your protein from, okay? So I opened this page at random, okay? And Swami says, I have given so many things to you that you have asked for, okay? I am asking you for one thing. To become vegetarian. Will you do this for me? It's in some speech. Somewhere, not connected with me at all. That's a page I am opening, okay, on my way back. And then he says, you say, some speech somewhere, okay, you say that vegetarians don't get enough protein. I entirely disagree with you. Vegetarians can get enough protein, and this is how they can get protein. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things Swami said, which can produce, which can give you enough protein. So I entirely disagree with you. Okay? I read that, closed the book, and I said, I'm becoming vegetarian. I have to. So I went home, made the solemn announcement that I'm going to become vegetarian. Okay? A week after I became vegetarian, I was, for the first time in my life, doing the 1008 names. The 108 names I do every single day, 365 days. I don't go to bed, I don't eat my food, I don't eat my dinner without 108 names. I do the Paduka Puja actually every single day. But the 1008 names, for the first time, I said, no, now let me do the 1008. It takes an hour, but doesn't matter. Let's sit and read. So I was doing the 1008 times, and when I finished 500, my mouth is a little dry. I just came out of the puja room after doing 500, came out just to have a sip of water. I get a call from Puttaparthi. The All India President had just come out from Swami's room and said, Mohan, Swami wants me to ask you whether you will agree to become the convener of the Tamil Nadu Trust. Whether I will agree to become. See Swami's humility, you know, divinity speaking, and this is a lesson for us. This is a lesson that even Bhagavan himself, you know, when he is so very humble, who are we? You know, we are all zeros. Who are we to think that we are great people, you know? So please, he's a busy man. So please ask him whether he will agree to be. So while I'm talking on the phone, my wife is standing next to me. She was jumping about. Say yes, you know. Then she said, it's bigger than Nobel Prize. She went on saying. Sir, one side he is asking, then she is saying Nobel Prize. I don't know what to say. Then I said, sir, yes sir, definitely sir, I will definitely accept it. Please thank Bhagwan and say I'll take it up straight away. Okay, please tell him to this thing. Okay, I'll go back to Swami's room and tell him. Swami said to ask you. I just came out. So he went back, rang back again, and when I finished my 1008 name, came back, next call came saying that yes, you are appointed as the convener, and it happened. So Swami was waiting for me to become vegetarian. For that book came. He had to tell me that. Then he made me change my mind. He didn't accept somebody else. He had already decided, and then it was given. Then when a call was over, I asked my wife, why are you talking about Nobel Prize now? You know, some convener they're saying, and you are saying Nobel Prize. What is Nobel Prize to do with convener of Satya Sai Trust? I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the connection. Can you tell me? And she said, you're a real fool, you know, that's what you are. So I said, thank you, but can you still explain to me why, you know? Then she said, can't you think who appoints a chief minister? Some MLAs appoint. Who appoints a president or prime minister? Some MPs will appoint. Who appoints the prime minister? Who will appoint the president of United States? Some fellows there, some Senate members there, or syndicate members there will elect them. Who gives a Nobel Prize? One committee of fellows sit down together there and decide, oh, some names, okay, this fellow is Indian. They never gave a Nobel Prize to Gandhi. 5 times he was for peace. You know, the biggest person who stood for peace in the world, 5 times he was nominated, Gandhi. 5 times they never gave him. Finally, after he was dead, they said, no, now he's dead, so we cannot give, you know. So either way, Gandhi never got the Nobel Prize. They said, that is a committee which is sitting there and talking about Nobel Prize. Here is Bhagawan nominating you, the Lord himself nominating you to a position. So which is bigger, Nobel Prize is bigger or this is bigger? Then only I understood, my God, this is the biggest honor I've got in my life. I don't think I can get any other honor, no Nobel Prize, nothing can beat this, because this is given by Bhagawan himself. So I wanted to tell you about that. I want to briefly mention about omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. Swami's omnipresence we have all felt, okay? But it's our own belief that when we believe that Swami is sitting in the chair now, 50% of us will still have a doubt. Can it be true that he's actually sitting there? You know? That doubt will always come to us because our mind is clouded by Maya. Every time we try to think something, Maya will come and it will block us. So that block is always there. As human beings, that is one of the limitations that we have. But when he actually shows his omnipresence to you, in situations where it is almost impossible that it could have happened, then it's a reinforcement to us. And then our faith gets more and more and more reinforced. I was in Sydney. And this time in Sydney, I'll share 2 instances of my wife's minor illnesses. She had a major illness and she unfortunately died of a cancer. But she had some minor illnesses. One of them was in Sydney. She had a fever. And we were supposed to go to Sydney for a conference, from there to Melbourne, from Melbourne to Cairns, and then to Singapore, and then back. It was a big trip which was supposed to do. In Sydney, the conference is over, and then she fell sick. And there was no way, 103 fever, we are in a hotel room, that hotel room is booked only up to that day, I don't know what to do, next day I'm supposed to go to Melbourne, and she said, how can I travel to Melbourne? I said, so what do we do here? You know, I don't know anyone here in Sydney, what do I do? Then I realized that I had left my briefcase behind in the conference place, which is not very far. It's about 1 kilometer. I used to walk from the hotel to the conference place. I realized, I'd left my briefcase behind. So I said, okay, you be in the hotel. Let me go and get the briefcase and then I'll come back. So every day to that conference until then, I used to go along the main road and come back. It's about 1 kilometer. I don't know why on this particular day, of all the days, I've been there for 5 days, and all the 5 days I went the other way. Suddenly when I came, there was a small diversion, small little path going the other way, long, small side road. Something told me, take that side road this time. So for the first time in that, so many times I went up and down, I never did that. That particular day, I took that side road and I just went there. I hardly took about 15, 20 yards and went there. There was a car there with Swami's big picture on it and with the words, why fear when I am there? It's written there. Why fear when I am there? And Swami blessing and Swami's picture there in Sydney. That's exactly what I wanted. Because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know in Sydney what's going to happen. I didn't know a single person. I didn't know anybody. Luckily for me, when I came back, it suddenly struck me that there was an address of a doctor in Sydney. that I had understood he was one of the relative of one of the hotel owners, and he had given me his address and said, if you need anything in Sydney, you keep this. And I had this doctor's address, an Indian doctor. So I just called him and I said, sir, can you get me some medicines? He said, what? What's wrong? He said, no, my wife has got fever. Can you bring some? I didn't even bring medicines. Can you just bring me some medicines? He said, I'm coming there. In 10 minutes, I'm coming there. Within 10 minutes, he and his wife came there and said, pack up. You're coming to our house. You're not staying here. You're coming to our house. I said, no, I just wanted medicine. I don't want anything. No. Pack up. You're not staying here. You're coming to our house. Almost a total stranger. He takes us to his house. And the next 3-4 days, his wife nurses my wife there. Back to health. Till she can take her next flight back. Okay? We had to rearrange all our flights and everything. But just before that, half an hour before that, Swami was there and say, wife here when I am there. Okay? Now, if this is not omnipresence, you tell me what is omnipresence? It's in Sydney. It's not in India. Okay? It's in a car. How many cars in Sydney will have that? How many times I went there, why did I only at that time I choose this particular road and go? Okay? So, Swami has taken over. Swami, in the form of that doctor and his wife, took over and he made life comfortable for us. So, the only thing that Swami expects from us is our surrender to Him. So once we surrender to Him, and totally we surrender to Him and say, Swami, it is You who is the doer and not me, Swami immediately comes. He's only waiting for that. Remember in the Mahabharata, even Draupadi had to wait. The sari was being removed. He tested her. Till she thought of Him, He never came. Krishna never came. Okay, but the moment He thought, it was all done. The magic was done. If she thought a little earlier, it would have come earlier. So Swami says always, my heart is like butter, but it still needs a little bit of warmth to melt that butter. So that is that warmth, that is that love, that is that faith that He is waiting for, and that's all He wants. He doesn't want anything else from us. We tend to forget Him. At many times in our life, we tend to forget Him. So little trials, little things here and there, and then we are back on track. But if we are constantly thinking about Him, His love and grace is there always. And this was not just in Sydney. If I go to Thailand or Japan or Geneva, or in fact the first Sai Bhajan I attended when I was not a Sai devotee was in Geneva. And my father and I were the only Indians in that whole crowd. There were 300 people in WHO, and they went, they said we have a spiritual meeting. This was 1981, long before, 11 years before I became a devotee. It was a Sunday evening, something like this, 4 o'clock in the evening. And they said, we have a spiritual meeting, will you mind joining us? So we thought it's a Christian, we thought some church they're going to go. No problem, we'll come, we'll take a short break for about an hour. We have to attend the spiritual meeting, then we'll come back. We said, yeah, we'll come. Go there and I feel Baba there, you know. Swami is there and it's a Sai Bhajan. I said, Sai Bhajan in Geneva? That is the first Sai Bhajan I attended. In Geneva, as a non-devotee, as the only Indian there. Everybody is white people there. And I said, this is amazing. But you can see, even that didn't make me a devotee. You see, Swami still had to call at the right time. So wherever even today I go in the world, extremely blessed that Swami will be there in some form or the other. In fact, it's not only for me, it's for every one of you. Let me ask you, let us say you are President Obama. Okay, you are President Obama today. Okay, in another year, what is President Obama? He's gone. He's like an ordinary person. Where is Jimmy Carter now? Where is George Bush now? Okay, they were one time ruling the whole world. You know, where are they today? They're gone. They're not there anyway. But you, as a Sai devotee, okay, you and I as a Sai devotee, we just have to go to any corner of the world, okay, and if another Sai devotee knows that we are there, somebody from a Sai center is there, they will come and pick you up and take you to the Sai center. They will look after you exactly like what happened in Sydney. Okay? So that, I think, makes Sai devotees bigger than a president of USA, bigger than a prime minister of India, or bigger than anyone else. That is the power that Swami has given each and every one of His devotees. By being a simple devotee of Bhagavan, in 160 countries, I think doors will open to us to join our other Sai brothers and sisters. And think, these are things which we don't realize when it happens to us. But if you just think about it, then you will know how blessed we all are. Being a doctor, I think I must talk a couple of medical miracles. Because when I spoke in Puttaparthi in front of Swami, He asked me to speak, and then I asked him, shall I talk about medical miracles, Swami? I asked him. And he said, yes, you can definitely talk about it. I don't know whether I can talk about medical miracles that he has performed, but I have his permission. And therefore, since I have spoken in front of him, I'd like to talk. These miracles I have spoken about earlier. You might have probably heard about it. You might have heard about it on YouTube. You might have heard it somewhere. But as Swami says, some things are worth repeating. They're worth repeating because they reinforce the faith. And since it has happened first person to me, I'm not telling you that my colleague operated on someone and something happened. I'm telling you what happened in my own hands. And therefore, with authenticity, I can tell you the medical miracles that have happened that I have seen. The first was a breast cancer patient. This was an elderly lady who had breast cancer, diagnosed by 3 or 4 doctors, and she came to Chennai. She had diabetes, so she came to Chennai. She was a resident of Puttaparthi, inside from the ashram. So unfortunately, she could not see Swami and take his blessing. She waited 2-3 days, could not meet Swami, so she finally came to Chennai. She controlled the diabetes with me, and she had gone to another hospital to get the surgery done and to start the rest of the cancer treatment. But there she got all tensed up and her sugars went up and everything. So the surgeon called me and he said, you know what, she seems to be comfortable in your place because she sees Swami's pictures and all there. So can I do it in your place? I said, normally we don't do cancer surgery and all. Well, it's like any other surgery. You have a theater, I'll come and do it. So why do you worry? I'll take over whole response. I said, okay, patient is comfortable, surgeon is comfortable. Okay, come and do it. So she came. Next day was a surgery. So in the afternoon, morning, Swami comes for darshan, and one of her relatives was sitting there, and Swami materializes Vibhuti and gives it to this boy and says, go straight to Dr. Mohan's hospital. She's going to undergo the surgery tomorrow. Tell her that I blessed and I'm giving this Vibhuti. So he sent the Vibhuti. So that fellow came running. And in the night he came with the Vibhuti sent by Swami. Then the lady said, I don't need surgery now because Swami has blessed. I said, no. Swami said, tomorrow surgery. Swami said, cancer. Swami said everything. He didn't say, cancel the surgery, take my Vibhuti. He never said. He only sent Vibhuti. So we are going ahead with the surgery. Because unless specific instruction from Swami, we cannot cancel it. So we go ahead with it. So next day, when she got up in the bed, around her bed, Vibhuti has formed. Where she's sleeping, around her, all around her, in the bed, Vibhuti has formed. So we said, okay. Then she said, now Vibhuti has formed, shall I cancel surgery? I said, no. There's still one more manifestation, one more blessing from Swami you've got, but still means you go for the surgery. So the surgeon was there, oncologist was ready, everybody was ready. So the surgeon took a small bit of the tissue, FNAC was done, and he sent it for a frozen section to get a quick diagnosis before he decides what procedure to do. The test came back in a few minutes, no evidence of malignancy. Okay? So the surgeon said, no, this is not correct. I think I missed the tumor. I must have hit the wrong place. This is definitely malignancy. I've also examined the patient. So if there's a clinical sign of malignancy, it was there, 100%. So no, 4 or 5 doctors seen, all the 4 have said it's malignancy. There's no doubt about it. Okay? Then he said, okay, now what do we do? So we'll just remove the tumor, okay? And then let me have a look at it myself, and then we'll plan the secondary surgery. Now I'll just do the tumor removal. So he removed the tumor, took it out, and he said, this is definitely malignancy. There's no doubt, you know. And he took it to the pathologist, sat with him, section by section by section they went through, there's no malignancy in the lesion. Okay? He says, now what do we do? There's no malignancy in the tumor. So what do we do now? Then the oncologist said, no, better we still do chemotherapy. I said, no, better we don't do anything now. Because Swami has cancelled the cancer now. Okay? He has sent the Vibhuti. He has given her, he told her to go ahead, he has done it. Now there is no malignancy now. For when there is no malignancy, how you can do chemotherapy? There is no chemotherapy, no radiotherapy, nothing, finished. We leave her alone, she is fine. Okay? She lived 15 years after that. She lived 15 years after that, no malignancy, nothing. Okay? You know, people look for, you know, one miracle can you show, you know, as a proof of miracle. This is not a miracle. I don't know what the definition of a miracle is. 2 more short stories. There was a Muslim gentleman, okay? He had severe pain. He was a very well-known person in Chennai, one of the leaders of one of the Muslim communities there. He had severe pain. He underwent an anal surgery, perianal surgery. Very, very, very painful because that area has a lot of nerves. So it was very, very, very painful surgery. So he underwent the surgery. The first day he didn't sleep at all. He was given powerful narcotic drugs. He still didn't sleep. Next day I was somewhere in the evening. I was gone shopping or something. Suddenly I get a call from my hospital. Doctor, this man wants to see you. Come rushing back. He wants to see you immediately. He's crying in pain. So I went. I went back and said, yeah. So he says, doctor, I can't bear this pain. You have to do something, you know. I've trusted you. I've come whole night. I've not slept. So he said, you have to do something for the pain. So I said, look, we've already given you very powerful drugs. I don't have anything more to give, okay. I'll repeat the same thing today. You have to bear with the pain for a couple of days. Pain will go away. It's a post-operative pain. It'll be there for a couple of days. It'll go away. He said, I don't care about all that. I don't want pain. I want to sleep today. Do something. And he started crying. I didn't know what to do. Okay. We had given him pethidine and fortuin and all we had given. So, those days. So, nothing worked. So, then I said, I really stumped, totally stumped. I didn't know what to do. So, I said, close your eyes. He closed his eyes. So, I had a ring which is given by Swami. So, I put the ring on his head and just prayed to Swami and said, Swami, I totally surrender. I don't know what to do. Okay. This man needs your help. He's crying with pain. Okay. Please relieve his pain. We are not able to do it. As a doctor, I'm finished. I can't do anything more. And therefore, please help this man from his pain. Swami, Swami, please help him. Swami, he needs your help now. Swami, please help him. I said, okay. And I said, now open your eyes. We'll be fine. I said, I quickly left the room before he called me again, you know. And then I went out, quickly went out. The nurse said, sir, today what I'll give? I said, repeat the same thing. I don't know what to give. You repeat the same thing. Okay. Then she said, I give it now. I said, no, don't give it now. Wait a little later. Maybe around 10:30, 11 at night. So a few more hours of thing you'll get and all that. 10:30, she went into his room. He's fast asleep. Okay. Completely fast asleep. Nothing is given to him. Not even on Crozen is given to him. Okay. Fast asleep. Then she called me home. And she said, sir, he's sleeping, sir. Shall I go and give the injection? I said, no, don't wake him now. He's sleeping. Poor fellow, if he wakes up now, we don't know what will happen. So he waitly wakes up. Then after that, you give the injection. Now don't disturb him. Somehow he slept, you know, leave him alone. Up to 7:30 morning, the fellow is flat out. Like general anesthesia is knocked out. Okay. Then the morning he gets up and he says, no pain, nothing, everything gone. Then he called the sister and said, what did you give me yesterday in the night? I slept so well, my pain is gone, everything is gone. She said, sir, I didn't give anything, sir. What do you mean you never gave anything? Pretty fast asleep, how I can give you? So I never gave. I asked Dr. Mohan, he said, don't give. So I never gave. This fellow has done something to me, he said. Then he waited for me to come. So I came for rounds. Then he said, doctor, what did you do yesterday to me? I said, I didn't do anything. Why? Your pain went away, no? You're happy, no? No. I want to know. You did something. I didn't do anything. No. You made me close my eyes. Something you did. He's a Muslim man. What to tell him? Then I told him, you really want to know? Yes, I want to know. Okay, I'll tell you. I prayed to Bhagavan Baba to relieve your pain. Okay? That's what I did, I said. Next minute he says, Dr. Mohan, Baba is God. Only God can do this. You have prayed. He has not come here even. And through that prayer, he has cured me. Without a single medicine being given, only God can do this. I am a Muslim who says that in human form, you cannot worship God, but I now have proof that Baba is God. I will continue to pray to him. Then I gave him vibhuti, I gave him picture. He said, you know, I'm a leader here. I come to Puttaparthi, I'll have problem. But every day I'll pray to Baba. And every time he'll ask me, he'll say, Dr. Mohan, you are blessed. You are able to see God, you know. I am not able to come. If I come, there will be a big confusion in my community. They will ostracize me. But I secretly pray to him. I keep the vibhuti. I take the vibhuti. I take everything and all that. He's still okay. He's still fine. Okay. Third miracle that I want to tell you about. Now, the second one I said, Swami didn't come in person. Okay. Third one, even more fascinating. This is a patient who had a foot infection. Foot infection, diabetic, very bad. Okay. I'm sure Dr. Sundaresh will agree. If it goes beyond a certain point, no vascularity, white, no granulation tissue, nothing, gave up. So the surgeon kept on saying amputation, amputation. I said, oh, we'll wait. So we waited. 1 week, 2 weeks, it's getting paler and paler. No pink thing coming, nothing, gone. And it's beginning to smell a little bit. So finally we told the patient amputation. Okay. I was not a devotee at that time. This was many years ago. I was not a devotee of Swami at that time. So we told the patient amputation. Then he said, "Sir, only one request. Give me 24 hours. Give me 24 hours." He said, "Okay, don't worry." Okay. Next day we go and see him. So dressing and all was done. Next morning we went for the rounds. Patient is smiling, you know, and he said, "Doctor, no need for amputation, doctor." I said, why are you saying that?" "No, doctor, my leg is all right, doctor. No need for amputation. You can see." So we said, how are you saying that?" "Last night Baba came, no. And he talked to me, no." I said, "What? Where he came?" "He said, Baba came here, he sat on my bed." "He said, which bed?" "This bed." "He said, where did he sit?" "He sat there." "Then what did he do?" "He stroked my leg and he said, you will be all right. No need for amputation," he said. "Once Baba says no amputation, doctor, that's all, it is done. You open the wound and see. There'll be no need for amputation. You open the wound, all pink things have started. You know, all the granulation tissue. All these days, no granulation tissue. That day, after opening, we're seeing all granulation tissue coming." Then we said, yeah, correct. I think we'll wait, you know. And then again, I asked, "Where did Baba sit?" "He's sitting there." "What about others? Did others see in there?" "No, others were all sleeping, you know. There's a general ward, okay. Others, this side bed, that side bed, all sleeping. He came and sat. I was also sleeping." I said, "Is it a dream?" "Not dream, doctor. He touched my leg. He came and sat there. He touched my leg. And he said, you will be all right. No need for amputation. Once Baba says there is no need for amputation, doctor, I'm 100% sure." He said, "No amputation." His leg was totally cured. Here is an instance of not only omnipresence, omniscience, because he knows everything, and omnipotence, because he has also cured. Okay? The definition of a God that I have learned from my childhood, the three definitions I have learned is omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. If you analyze our Swami, you will find that each one of these, in some form or the other, you will all see in your lifetime. And therefore, many years ago itself, I went on television and I said, "Why Baba is God?" I spoke on the subject, "Why Baba is God?" And I started narrating some of these instances. Of course, a lot of people said, "Oh, it was nice, this, that." Many people cursed me. There were Christian doctors who wrote to me and said, "First of all, we thought you were sane. Now you are not sane. We know you are insane. Okay? We thought you were a normal character. Now we know you are loose. Okay? That's the first thing. Second thing, we know that you are totally mad. You have no sense of anything. You are talking total blasphemy. Okay? All these things they said. So, this is a Christian doctor wrote to me and I said, "You know what? Jesus Christ said that if somebody slaps you on one cheek, you show the other cheek. Dear Dr. George, I am showing you my other cheek. Please slap me once again." Okay? But that is what Jesus Christ said, you know. So, when we talk about our own experiences, sometimes it is so fantastic, so unbelievable, that even as devotees we begin to wonder, is this possible? Really, Swami will come? Yes. If you believe that He will come, He will definitely come. Okay? So, there is no doubt that Swami... So, all these miracles happen not in Swami's physical presence as such, but in Swami's divine form it has happened. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, post-Mahasamadhi, 24th April 2011, the whole world suddenly became black for devotees like us, isn't it? Overnight, everything became overcast, dark, and the whole world looked as if it's going to end because the physical form was not there anymore. I would put it to you, from the little learnings, from my own little experiences, from what I've been reading, from what I've been seeing, from what I've been hearing, is that Swami's power now has actually multiplied manifold, because He is no longer restricted to His human form. In His human form, He has to limit Himself. When Godhood comes down into human form, He has to necessarily limit Himself, because He has to obey the rules of a human being. Now He doesn't have to obey that. Okay? So now we have a God with us who is really limitless. His love is limitless. His power is limitless. So what is the limiting factor? It's us. It's our faith. If our faith is strong, as they say, even the mountains will move. But do you believe that the mountain will move? If you believe the mountain will move, the mountain will move. But for us, how can a mountain move? Finished. You're gone. Mountain cannot move. Because the doubt has come. Once the doubt has come, you're finished. Okay? So have that faith in us. So moving forward, what do we do? Okay? What is our responsibility? Swami has given us all so much. He has given us debts which we cannot repay. Not in this lifetime, not in the next 100 lifetime, we cannot repay the debt of love that Swami has given us. Okay? So what can we give back? We can only give back small things. As students, if you continue to be the Sai ambassadors of the golden yuga, the Swarna yuga which Swami has promised will come, it is you students who are going to be those ambassadors. You're all going to be Sai ambassadors. You're going to carry the light of the organization forward. You're going to fulfill the divine mission that he has started. He needs instruments like you. Not that he needs it, but he's giving an opportunity for us to be instruments, to be Sai ambassadors. So all of you are there. So young students sitting here, use that opportunity to be part of the divine mission. That's why I'm particularly happy that the Alumni Association is still so very active. These are all people who have had the benefit of being with Swami, and then they have gone. They're all in different fields, but see, they've all connected back again. They've not forgotten the organization. They've not forgotten Swami. They've not forgotten the roots from which they grew, and therefore they're all part of it. And that is why I think Samarpan is a very special thing, because you all are all reconnecting back to the roots, and that should continue to be there throughout your life. And for those of you who are not yet alumni, when you become alumni, always look for opportunities, not only to give back to this organization, but to give back to society. Because that is what Swami did. Where there was no water, he gave water. Where there was no education, not even a primary school, he started universities. Not one, two, three, four universities he started. Where there was not even a clinic, he started hospitals, super specialty hospitals, not just in Puttaparthi, but also in Whitefield, and also his chain of clinics all over the country and all over the world. In 160 countries, his branches of the organization continue to do seva with love all and serve all and help ever and hurt never. Those eight words epitomize all that Swami wanted to say. Just eight words are enough. You don't need to know anything else about Swami. Okay? I sent a Jewish friend once. He came to me, saw all about Swami, he heard, and then finally he said, I want to go to Puttaparthi. At that time Swami is in Whitefield. So I told him, go to Whitefield. Swami is in Whitefield. He said, I don't have to see Swami. I'll go to Puttaparthi. That is where he lived. No, I'll go to Puttaparthi. Tried to tell him, no, go. No, I'm going to Puttaparthi. So he went to Puttaparthi. Swami was not there. And after that he wrote back to me. He was a Jew, okay? So he writes back to me and he says, I know that Swami is divine. Because you see the world and then you know what the Creator is. Okay, when you see the world, you know what the Creator is. I have seen His creation in Puttaparthi, and so I don't have to see the Creator. I can imagine what the Creator is, and therefore I know that He is divine. And I think you are blessed to be part of this great organization, because what I saw there was unbelievable. Nowhere else in the world such things can happen, he said. I would like to end. It's about 6:12, 6:15 is asked to speak until then. So I would like to end by asking you, I've never done this in any speech before, but I would like to do it for the first time, for the reasons which I told you. Because I started in Whitefield and I've come back to Whitefield. And therefore I want you to do two things. One, I want you to join me in taking this pledge which is given by Bhagwan Baba. Okay, how many of you know about the pledge? Good. Then it's worth saying. This is a pledge given by Baba. I read it every single day in the morning. Okay, so I want you to repeat after me. This is a pledge given by Swami himself. Okay, dearest Swami, save me from any act of commission or omission which will affect adversely the three qualifications you have laid down, namely, one, that I must be an eager aspirant for spiritual progress, Two, that I must have full faith in the name that the organization bears, and in spreading that name in the manner suited to its message and majesty. Three, that I must have won recognition as a good person. Bless me with the skill, intelligence and enthusiasm necessary for the task I am dedicating myself to carry out for my own uplift. Guide me along the correct path. Shower on me your grace, that I may earn a fair name in this attempt. Guard me from temptation and wrong steps. Om Sai Ram.
Yeah.